The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 16th, 2007, in Timișoara, Romania.
So, we are very, very happy to be back with you all here in Timișoara, Romania. Actually, we have not come to Timișoara, Romania. We have come to Vaikuntha. Wherever the devotees of the Lord have gathered together to chant Hare Krishna mantra and to serve the great acharyas. That is not in this material world. We should never think that it is somewhere in this material world. It has nothing to do with this material world. Actually, this material world is more or less a dream state only. If you can come in closer, because I have no microphone, and I get hoarse, old man's body, 60-year-old body. A microphone would be helpful if you can bring tomorrow. I think last time we had one. So tonight, we are reading from chapter number 5, Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Text number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gyanena tutara gyanam. Yesham nashitam atmanah. Tesham aditya vajjnanam. Prakashayati tatparam. Translation and purport by My Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. When, however, one is enlightened with a knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Purport. Those who have forgotten Krishna must certainly be bewildered. But those who are in Krishna consciousness are not bewildered at all. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvam Jnana Palavena Jnanagni Sarvakarmani Anahi Jnana Sadrisham. Knowledge is always highly esteemed. And what is that knowledge? Perfect knowledge is achieved when one surrenders unto Krishna, as it is said in the 7th chapter, 19th verse, Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mang prapadyate. After passing through many, many births, when one perfect in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna, or when one attains Krishna consciousness, then everything is revealed to him as everything is revealed by the sun in the daytime. The living entity is bewildered in so many ways. For instance, when he unceremoniously thinks himself God, he actually falls into the last snare of illusion, of nescience. If a living entity is God, then how can he become bewildered by nescience? Does God become bewildered by nescience? If so, the nescience of Satan is greater than God. Real knowledge can be obtained from a person who is in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, one has to seek out such a bona fide spiritual master and under him learn what Krishna consciousness is. For Krishna consciousness will certainly drive away all nations, as the sun drives away all darkness. Even though a person may be in full knowledge that he is not this body, but is transcendental to the body, he still may not be able to discriminate between the soul and the super soul. However, he can know everything well if he takes care to take shelter of the perfect, bona fide, Krishna-conscious spiritual master. One can know God and one's relationship with God only when one actually meets a representative of God. A representative of God never claims that he is God, although he has paid all the respect ordinarily paid to God, because he has knowledge of God. One has to learn the distinction between God and the living entity. Lord Sri Krishna therefore stated in the second chapter, 2.12, that every living being is individual, and that the Lord also is individual. They were all individuals in the past, they are individuals at present, and they will continue to be individuals in the future, even after liberation. At night, we see everything as one in the darkness. But in day, when the sun is up, we see everything in its real identity. Identity with individuality in spiritual life is real knowledge. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Samadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, it is not very nice to be in the darkness. In the darkness, you don't know what's going on. Actually, the darkness is fearful. So, darkness means it is ignorance and it is misery also. And when you come into the light, it is just the opposite. When you come into the light, then you are no longer in ignorance. Then you can see things as they are. And in that state, you become happy. Therefore, the Vedic conjunction is Tamasi Ma Jyotirgama. Do not remain in the darkness. You come to the light. That is the whole purpose of Vedic culture. The Vedic culture and the modern day culture are both interested in the advancement of scientific knowledge. In both cultures, the idea was that through the advancement of scientific knowledge, one could become happy. And that is a fact. So there are two kinds of scientific knowledge. There is one that is highly scientific, that is called avarohapanta. And there is one that is not so scientific, actually, that is avarohapanta. That is the modern-day empirical method. In the avarohapanta, the scientist, he takes his imperfect senses and he analyzes the data which is coming in through his imperfect senses. He may expand the power of his imperfect senses with telescopes and microscopes and various other means. But the bottom line is he's still perceiving through imperfect senses, even if he's looking through a microscope. You see, it's still coming in through his imperfect sense, what he sees in the microscope or the telescope, etc. And then he analyzes all of this data which is subject to imperfection with an imperfect mind. And he hopes to come up with scientific knowledge in this way. He's groping in the dark. Therefore, the so-called scientific textbooks, they have to be constantly revised year after year after year. You can't have the same science textbook for very long. Because science has a new version of reality every year or two. You see? Is that science? Do they really know? If they really knew, they wouldn't have to change the books. But they're constantly changing the books. You see? Actually, one time, when I was a young brahmachari, I went for the idea of preaching to one big scientific gathering at the University of Florida. One famous professor, PhD, came to tell us all about the black holes in outer space. And I was there in my shaved head and my saffron robe, taking in this. There was about 3,000 students. It was a huge gathering, you see. He was the big guru, you see, coming in to enlighten us all, you see, about the black holes in outer space, you see. So he gave his presentation, very sophisticated, with all kinds of projections on the wall of outer space and all kinds of big words that just razzle-dazzle your mind, you see. But then I raised my hand and I asked him one question. I said, what are you presenting here? Is it a theory or is it a fact? His reply was, I think it's a fact. Note the word, I think. So, a couple of more people got some questions. And then again, I got recognized. I said, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory comes into popularity for some time, and then it is replaced by another theory. How do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? He had just said it was not a theory, so I tricked him, actually. I didn't intend to, but Krishna put the words in my mouth to trick him. I didn't even plan to do that, but actually I did, because he had just said it wasn't a theory, and then I said, your theory, and then he accepted it was a theory. You see, he said, I said, how do we know your theory will not be replaced by another theory? And he said, well, I hope it is, because then we will be making progress. So just see the rascal. He is saying it is fact. And then 2 minutes later, he's admitting, yes, it is theory. And when it is proven wrong, that will be the advancement of science, you see. But for now, everyone is accepting this is the absolute truth, you see. And he's admitting in the future it will be seen to be untrue. He's already admitting. And they call that science. That is called the Aroha Pantha method, you see. It is highly speculative, imperfect method. And because of this Aroha Pantha technique, which was popularized by the Greek philosopher Aristotle, actually, it's come back all the way to him, you see. Before Aristotle, the Avaroha Pantha method was followed even by the Greek philosophers, you see. But Aristotle, he flipped the Western philosophy to the Aroha Pantha path. And so it's just been a downhill journey ever since, you see. The world has become more and more chaotic, more and more turbulent thing now. It's just, now the chaos is unbelievable, how chaotic it's becoming. It took us 20 minutes just to get through the passport check. Mm-hmm. Ruff, ruff, Papa compared them to dogs. You see, ruff, 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 where's your visa? Ruff, 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 why are you coming here? Ruff, ruff, ruff. How long will you stay here? Ruff, ruff, ruff. Where are you going after you leave here? Ruff, ruff, ruff. Where did you come from before you came here? Ruff, 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 ruff. You see? Such agitated people, you see. So agitated. Actually, Mataji was just laughing as they were going, you know, they were looking at every little page of the passport, you know. Taking pictures of each page, you know, photographing it and analyzing it. They called other people in to look at them, you know. You know, like we were from outer space or something. You know. It's crazy, absolutely crazy. So, the actual method is Avaroha Tanta. On this Avaroha Pantha pathway, one connects with great scientists who actually realize the truth, you see. Actually, each and every one of us have the scientific instruments with which we can perfectly realize the absolute truth. You have, everyone has. Everyone has the instrument. They are given by God. Each and every one of us is an emanation of the absolute source of existence, all existence, the Supreme Person. So, we innately possess a connection with that Supreme Person. Everyone has that connection. But now we are not seeing that connection, we are not feeling that connection, we are not experiencing that connection because our senses are imperfect, they are polluted, they are contaminated. Just as the environment now is more and more polluted, you see. Actually, our senses are polluted. The pollution in the world is simply the result of the pollution which is there in our senses. If we can free our senses from the pollution, then we will get the solution. We will again be able to directly experience God, the absolute personality of God. Directly we can perceive God. So, do you want knowledge? Do you want scientific knowledge? If you can perfectly know that person who is the absolute source of all existence, you see, under whose control everything is going on, a blade of grass cannot even blow in the breeze without his sanction. If you can know perfectly well that supreme source of all existence, then you become the perfect scientist. Then you know everything. That is confirmed in this verse. Then his knowledge reveals everything. Just like that sun, everything becomes illuminated when the sun comes in. So when the Krishna sun rises in your heart, then you have perfect knowledge of everything. You will not be confused about anything. You won't ever be bewildered. You won't ever become devastated. You will always be in a state of transcendental happiness in connection with Krishna, God. So this is the real science. The Krishna science. This is the real science. This other science, it is nescience actually. It is not science. To call it science is a misnomer, which means misname. They are misnaming it by calling it science. It is simply speculation, you see. But even if they want to promote their so-called scientific method is the only way to know something. Well, actually, we can also apply that method to Krishna consciousness as well. Experiment, observation, hypothesis. We can apply the same thing to Krishna consciousness. You make experiment. You chant Hare Krishna mantra. You observe the result of chanting Hare Krishna and then you draw your conclusion. Simple then. They give scientific formulas. Just like H2O equals water, you see. If you simply hear that H2O equals water, it is theory only, theoretical. But if you go to the laboratory and you actually do that, you combine two parts of hydrogen with one part of oxygen and you get in your test tube water, then you have realized it is not merely theory, you see. You have practical realization. So, this Krishna consciousness movement is a laboratory, actually. Prabhupada's books are the theory, and the movement is the laboratory. That's what the movement is. It's the laboratory. The books are the theory, and the movement is the laboratory. So, by participating in Hare Krishna movement, following the instructions in the lab manual, Bhagavad Gita as it is, then what do you get? You get water in your test tube. Yeah, I'm saying that allegorically. You get Krishna. You can directly perceive God face to face, eye to eye. When you advance sufficiently in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will personally reveal himself to you. He will not be some mere theory. He will be that Supreme Person. You will know Him intimately well. And you will give all of your love to Him, knowing full well that that's the best place to invest your love. If someone has some money to invest, and they are intelligent, they will invest it in the best place, you see, to bring the greatest return for their investment. So, we all have something known as the ability to love, isn't it? Everyone has the ability to love. So, the intelligent person, he invests that love in that place where he gets the greatest return for that love. Some people, they invest their love in their dog, you see. And they get their face licked every night when they come home from work, you see. That is their return. They get a nice tongue, a dog tongue all over their face, slop, slop, slop. And they are very happy with it. That is not enough for me, you see. I want a greater return on my investment. One who actually gives their love to Krishna, who is the supreme source of all existence, the supreme controller of everything, the supreme knower of everything, When you give your love to Krishna, you achieve a perfection which is unparalleled. Even the great demigods are not on that level, unless they become pure devotees. Even the great demigods, their positions are not on that level of happiness. The greatest position is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's greater than being Brahmaji, controller of the whole universe. That is a greater position. Why? Krishna, that Ajita, that unconquerable Krishna, Ajita Krishna, he becomes Jita or conquered by his devotee's love. That supreme person who controls everything, he will become controlled by you when you totally give your love to him. Your love can conquer Krishna. Just as Arjuna became the recipient of Krishna's being his chariot driver, Mother Yasoda became the whipping stick chaser of God, you see. In this way, by love, one can conquer over God. So we have gotten this greatest opportunity by the mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So now we must take advantage. If we have any brains left after all these years of material sense gratification, then we will take this Krishna consciousness. Actually, we don't have much brains. We are described alpa medasa. Alpa medasa. In Sanskrit language, meager intelligence. It's interesting to note in this connection that in America, there is a canned dog food called alpa. So alpa means meager, and medasa means brain, but it also means dog food. So, alpa medasa also means a dog food brain, you see. So, we really don't have much. In English, they say upstairs. We don't have very much upstairs. It's in the brain, you see. And upstairs, we are paupers upstairs, actually, in this age. But as Prabhupada said, this is not a brainwashing movement, this is a brain giving movement. If we will read Prabhupada's books, if we will follow the instructions that Prabhupada is giving, then we will develop very powerful intelligence. Very, very powerful intelligence. And whatever intelligence you get, if you will act on that intelligence, guess what happens? You get 10 times more intelligence. Every time you get realization, if you put that realization into practice, then you get 10 times more realization. And if you put that realization into practice, you get 10 times more of that. That's 100 times factored now. And then it goes to 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 in this way, you see. So whatever you have realized about Krishna, kindly put that into practice and watch your realization grow. It is the greatest investment. So if you invest your love in Krishna, if you invest your love in Guru, if you invest your love in Vaishnavas, you will get the greatest return. That is actually confirmed by Prabhupada. If you give to a Brahman, you get so much return. If you give to a Vaishnava, you get unlimited return. You get an infinite return, whatever you give in loving service to the Vaishnava. So, in this way, we have to try to understand what is this science known as Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada says here, we have to take shelter of the perfect, bona fide, Krishna conscious spiritual master. This point is reconfirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Yes, there is more than one Prabhupada. Of course, we have our Prabhupada. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was also called Prabhupada. In fact, our Prabhupada called him Prabhupada. And Rupa Goswami also is called Prabhupada by Srila Prabhupada. So that Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, he said the first item, the very first item for one who wants to become Krishna conscious, Adau Garashrayam. The very first point is you take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. The first point. So this is how we get connected. This is how we become rejuvenated in our spiritual identity. By taking shelter of the perfect bona fide Krishna conscious spiritual master. Then we can realize everything about who we are, about what this world is, and who is the controller of everything. This knowledge becomes perfectly revealed to the person who has taken shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Prabhupada one time made a distinction. Sometimes he lumps them together as being the same thing. But as in any language, words have different meanings according to different contexts. So Prabhupada one time made a distinction between the two of them. Mental speculation is when you just try to figure out things on your own without any reference to any authoritative knowledge. That's mental speculation. Philosophical speculation means, for example, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. So if you speculate to think, well, how is Krishna the taste of the water? That's called philosophical speculation. That's very nice. Just like there's water, so how is it that Krishna is the taste of the water? Well, he's within every atom and he's between every atom, so there are millions and billions of Vishnu forms here in this cup of water. That's one thing you can consider. And it is also the energy of Krishna, Bhumir Rupo Nalo Vayu, you see. Earth, water, fire, it's one of the elements that emanates from Krishna. And then, of course, Krishna directly declares, if there's any doubt, Krishna directly, Rasoham Apsakonseya, he directly declares in chapter 7 that I am the taste of water. So there's three ways of understanding how Krishna is the water. He directly declares, I am the taste of water. He declares that water is his manifested energy, and it's also declared that he's within every atom and between every atom. So, that is three ways you can understand that Krishna is the water, the taste of the water. So that's called philosophical speculation. And you can go on thinking. It's like you write a whole essay, you know. Back to Godhead magazine article, how Krishna is the taste of the water. You can analyze it from this angle, from that angle, many different. That's called philosophical speculation. Actually, devotees who are expert at giving classes, when they give a class, they are engaging in philosophical speculation because they analyze it from this angle and they come in from this angle and then here, they take one point of Krishna conscious philosophy. But they analyze it from a thousand different brand new perspectives. You see, that's called philosophical speculation. It's actually very exciting. It is the sporting activity of Brahmins, philosophical speculation. Brahmins are not interested in basketball and volleyball and this ball and that ball. They like philosophy. That is their recreational best time. Next question.
Did you say that mental speculation is just the work of the jnanis?
Yeah, jnanis, they are mental speculators. They try to figure out, what is the absolute truth? I won't take anybody else's word. I just want to figure it out with my own brain. What is the absolute truth? And their system is one of negation. Well, the absolute truth is not this. You know, it's not money. It's not sex life. It's not food. It's not cinemas. It's not baseball. It's not Romania. It's not Toyota. You know, they just negate. 18. Actually, before I came to this Krishna consciousness movement, I was also doing them. I was trying to negate everything. The absolute truth was none. And I was trying to come to realize the truth through that process of negation. But I came to a startling realization one evening that I've negated everything. Now, what is there left to negate? I have to negate negation. And then something told me that I was on my way to India to become a sadhu, an Indian sadhu. The time I wanted to give up this Western world, and I was engaged in this negating. You know, this I wanted to negate this whole culture I'd grown up in, you know, completely negate it to death, and then go to India and just be a renunciate. You see, but then one evening before I actually got on the boat that was going to take me to India, I had this realization that you've negated everything, now you got to negate negation. And then something said, you should be going to San Francisco instead of India. So I headed the other direction. I went to San Francisco, I went to that famous neighborhood of the hippie era, the Haight-Ashbury district. I went there, I walked into Golden Gate Park, and there they were. Hare Krishna, Hare. So anyway, it's a long story, but how that happened. But the point is that this mental speculation, the only place it can really take you, if you're really serious about it, is to give it up finally. You see? Mental speculation, if you're really serious about being a jnani, then you have to throw away your jnana after a while and go to a higher level, because you run into a dead end eventually. You negate everything, and then there's nothing else to negate except for negation. You have to throw it away. And then what do? You've rejected everything. Now you have to accept something. You rejected everything, including rejection. Rejection has now also been rejected. So now you have to accept something. So what will you accept? There has to be something transcendental beyond this existence. So that is revealed by the spiritual master. When you are serious to realize that absolute truth, then the Chaitya Guru within your heart, the Supreme Lord, He will manifest before you externally as the spiritual master. And He reveal everything to you as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So we have to be serious to become enlightened beings. We really do. We have to become serious about realizing the absolute truth. Any other questions? Yeah. Does enlightenment happen little by little or one moment? Yeah. It's like a beautiful spring morning when that dawn gradually, slowly manifests. It's not like a zap of lightning. Eureka, I have found it. No. It's that slowly manifesting dawn, very subtly and slowly coming. Sun like a sunrise, you see. So that's why the sadhana bhakti practice is very essential. You have to put yourself in the mode of goodness. and seriously hanker for the mode of pure goodness. So therefore we initiate our students 16 rounds and the four principles, because that puts you in a state of mind just like on that beautiful spring morning, you know, where you can peacefully be there and experience the dawn. If someone is, too rajasic or too tamasic, they'll just sleep through the whole thing. Or they'll be, up going out to make some money or rob a bank or something, They'll miss that. So therefore, you have to take up disciplinary practices to qualify yourself to actually experience that. That rising of the Krishna sun within the heart is only experienced by those persons who seriously take up the pathway of sadhana bhakti. You have to qualify yourself. Do you want to realize God? Do you want to? Then you have to qualify yourself. The Lord reserves the right not to appear before anyone and everyone. He appears before those who are very, very serious to devote themselves to Him. You have to prove to Krishna that you're willing to be devoted. He doesn't reveal Himself to non-devotees. You have to prove to Krishna that you're serious about being His devotee. And then He will reveal Himself to you. It is not imagination. Prabhupada personally instructed me to become qualified to see Krishna face to face. It is not imagination. Next question. Anyone in the back over there with a question? So everyone is satisfied now. Oh, there's no one's feeling any stumbling blocks on the pathway back to home. It's clear sailing from here out. No impediments. But yet?
Anger? Can you give us some tips for controlling anger?
Can you give us some tips to control anger?
Yes. If you become angry at the non-devotees for their rascal civilization, and then your anger will become controlled. But don't become angry at the devotees. You become angry at these rascal atheists who are misleading the whole world. You see? You become very angry at them. That's very good. Because then you'll preach. You'll take every opportunity to preach. To defeat them. Yeah, we were standing in the line at when we were always traveling around the world. As we were getting ready to leave the Fiji Islands, there was a big queue there of people, checking in. And one man, he came up and started, he saw we were dressed, we were people of God, you see. So he came up, I forget the exact arguments he was using. What do you believe in? He just wanted to defeat us. He wanted to smash us, really, just really smash us for believing in God. But he got smashed instead. And I was ready. I'm always ready. No, I didn't, not with, the anger was not like yelling at him. Our anger is a very cool anger, you see. He said, "What is your philosophy?" I said, "Know who you are and be who you are." And he couldn't say anything. I mean, that's put us. He just was stopped. Know who you are and be who you are. What could he say? He wanted to make fun of us, but when he heard that, I forget. He tried. He said some of the other thing. I forget what he said next. But. Now we want to defeat their civilization. We want to make a spiritual revolution. Prabhupada said that we would be the future leaders of this planet. He says it will not be difficult. You simply have to act with sincerity and intelligence, and Krishna will arrange everything. So that's what you should use your anger for. You should use your anger to take over the world for Prabhupada. That's our mission. Take over this planet. Become the leaders on this planet. That's what you should do with your anger. Become very, very angry about the slaughterhouses, the abortion clinics, the atheism. Become very, very agitated and disturbed how people are being misguided by the so-called leaders. See, Prabhupada points a finger at these leaders. He says, Pagale kina bole, chagale kina kaya. That's a Bengali saying. That what will a madman not speak, and what will a goat not eat? You see? So a goat will eat anything. You can give a goat anything. The goats are famous for even trying to eat a tin can, you see. They'll try to eat anything. So just like a goat will eat anything, a madman will also speak anything, any nonsense. Pagale kina bole. Pagale means a madman. Ki means what? Na, not. Bole. What a madman will not speak. And chagale, a goat. Chagale kina kaya. What a goat will not eat. So, this society is led by these goat-like people, you see. The philosophers, the political leaders, they're like goats. They speak any damn nonsense, you see. They completely deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says they are mudha, they are rascal, these so-called leaders. Avajananti mangmuda manushim tanamashyatang pradangva jamvajanam tobamabhutta maheshvaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. Avajananti mangmuda means ass. Krishna says they are foolish asses, these people who deride me. So the leaders of the society, they do not properly respect Krishna. They do not respect Krishna. So they are like ass. Of course, maybe some are ignorant, innocent. But if they are truly genuine, if they hear about Krishna, then many of them will be very interested. Please tell me more, I want to learn more. Please let me read these books, you see. Anyone who is genuine. So you should take your anger and you should preach like anything. Just like that Hanuman, that Ravana lit his tail on fire. So what did he do? He ran all over the city. He put the whole city of Lanka on fire. So that's how you should conquer anger. You should become so disturbed by the material society that you preach like anything. Everybody you possibly can. In every possible situation where you can get away with it, you'll preach. You see. That's how you should conquer your anger. Become very, very disturbed that this world is being led by rascals. And become very, very dedicated to bringing Krishna conscious leadership to this planet by your example and by your words. That's the way to conquer anger. Next question. Yeah.
Krishna is saying that he does not reveal to everybody. But isn't that the one who wants to know him through the knowledge he is revealing? Or is it just that when he becomes present, that is revelation?
Both. Krishna says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. The knowledge is there, but how many people actually realize it? But when Prabhupada told me to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face, he was talking about directly seeing God face to face. So there are different ways that God is revealed. He's also revealed in the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon. There are different ways that, according to one's degree of surrender, one realizes God to a different extent. Actually, everyone realizes God. Even the atheists realize God. Do they not? Mrityu sarva harashchaham. I am all devouring death. Yes. Everyone experiences God at the time of death. Like it or not? The atheist also realizes God in the form of death. They don't realize the personality of Godhead. They experience death as that which conquers them. They refuse to accept the supremacy of God, but at the time of death they are forced to accept the supremacy of God. Everyone has to accept the supremacy of God, either directly or indirectly. The devotees take it directly and the non-devotees take it indirectly. Everybody has to surrender to the state, either as a free citizen or as a prisoner in the prison. So which way would you like to surrender to the state? As a free citizen or as an inmate in the prison? Take your choice. Is it? So we have the choice how we want to surrender. You must surrender to Krishna, you cannot avoid. So how would you like to surrender? As a free citizen or as a prisoner in the cycle of birth and death? You take your choice. Your choice. Anything else? If not, all right.
So, if Krishna is the supreme controller, then someone might ask that, okay, how the first thought of independence appeared in our mind if he is controlling even our thoughts?
Krishna is the
controller. How the thought?
The independence came to our mind to begin with.
Krishna gives up some of his control, even though he's the supreme controller of everything. He voluntarily gives up some of his control because he wants loving relationships. Because he is minutely independent, those who are part and parcel of him, namely us, they also share that quality of independence. Just like the drop of ocean water shares the same chemical composition as the entire ocean. So Krishna is the entire ocean, we are the drops, roughly speaking, in analogy. The same quality of independence which is there in the complete whole is also there in the part and parcel to a minute degree. So, by nature we have independence because we are the same quality as Krishna. It is an intrinsic part of our nature because we are Krishna's energy and Krishna is supremely independent. The energy, the emanated energy shares the same quality with the emanating energetic source of the energy. Just like the fire is emanating so much heat and light, isn't it? But the fire itself is full of heat and light. So Krishna is fully independent, and he is emanating us from him. We are his energy emanating from him. Therefore, by very nature, independence must be there in our psyche. We must have the independent nature. But yet Krishna is controlling at the same time. But he's given us the choice, how would you like to be controlled? Still controlled. But he gives you the choice, how would you like to be controlled? Because that makes life more interesting for Krishna. Just imagine that all of us here in this, you're a real person, all of us here in this, you're simply robots that you program. Not the as if we were real people who could choose to agree with you or disagree with you, who could choose to follow you and to disobey you. But isn't it more interesting to be with people who have independence? What if we were all just robots? You were just all alone and you're the only person in all the existence. And all the other people were just robots that you programmed. That's boring. People now, they get, it's supposed to be really cool, but you know, it's kind of a joke. They get a dog, robot dog, you see. That you can buy a dog robot. He wags his tail and he goes roof, 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 you know. But how much, there's no rasa there. You can't have a relationship with a machine, you understand? Relationships are experienced with persons. So God has given you the independence because He wants to enjoy having relationship with person. So you are eternally endowed with independence. There was never a time you did not exist. There was never a time when you were not independent. There was never a time when you were not independent. You always possess these things. Does that answer your question? Right. Next question. There's another question coming, we'll end the class. Yes?
Regarding practice or sadhana, maybe in your experience you can tell us what is the most important thing which can help us to maintain sadhana and follow sadhana?
The most important thing to maintain sadhana? You have to love Krishna, that's all. You have to do it. You have to try to love Krishna in everything you're doing. Doing it in a loving way to satisfy Krishna. That's all. One God brother, he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. You see. So whatever we're doing, we have to understand there's if I'm cooking an offering, if I'm cleaning, if I'm preaching, whatever I'm doing, I have to try to do it as an offering of love to Krishna for His pleasure and satisfaction. In everything you're doing, 24 hours a day, I'd think, this is for Krishna. And if it's not, if you can't offer to Krishna, you shouldn't do it anymore. You should stop doing it. You should only do things that can be offered to Krishna. That's all. And do it in a way to try to please Him. That's how you have to think. Otherwise, you're just like a robot, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But you have to do it in a mood of trying to please the Lord. And then you'll become actually quickly advanced in Krishna consciousness. And you will taste the sweetest nectar. And that nectar will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Actually, there is so much nectar in preaching Krishna consciousness in this world that one can think, what is the need to go to Goloka Vrindavan? In Goloka Vrindavan, is there any preaching there? This preaching Krishna consciousness is so nectarian, one could think, why even bother going back to Godhead? I can just stay here and preach forever. One could think that way. Because there's so much nectar that you can taste here, right now, in the material world, by preaching. Trying to awaken the Krishna consciousness within the hearts of all living entities. It's unlimited nectar to be tasted in that activity. Any other questions?
Some may think that because we cannot see Krishna, so it is difficult to love Him. So is there any other way that one can pursue, how they can pursue what Bhagavan do in their sadhana?
Someone may think, well, then I can't really love Krishna, so what can I do? Well, then try to love the Guru. That's why He's there. He's more accessible than Krishna right now in our conditioned state of consciousness. You can see the spiritual master. You can't see Krishna. Of course, we see the deity in the photographs, but you know, we don't directly see Krishna face to face, eye to eye, in our conditioned state of consciousness. But the spiritual master is there. Try to develop a loving relationship with the spiritual master. Because he is the pure representative of Krishna, whatever love you develop for him, it directly goes through to Krishna. Spiritual master is just the channel, actually, through which Krishna reciprocates with the devotees. So if you can connect with the channel of the spiritual master, if you can get connected with that channel, then you can. That's the easy way to do it. So therefore, guru is essential. As I quoted earlier, Dao Gurashrayam. The very first principle, you want to become a lover of God, you have to take shelter of guru. It's the first principle. So by developing a loving relationship with the spiritual master, then automatically you're developing a loving relationship with Krishna. Krishna says it's more important you love my representative than you love me. In the Adi Purana, Krishna is saying like that. He says, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So the spiritual master is the devotee. We have to have a loving relationship with the spiritual master. And that's how we will become fixed up very quickly in Krishna consciousness. That's how Prabhupada started this movement. He showered us with so much love, we wanted to give something back. Even though we didn't have much love in our hearts, we were so covered by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. But still, Prabhupada just showered us with so much love that somehow we try to reciprocate like a little child, you know, trying to reciprocate with the love that our father was giving to us. And by that, we became purified. We became more able to love Prabhupada, you see, and more qualified by, you know, by continued efforts. Sometimes it was not easy. It's like going out on the Christmas marathon, you know, and all. It wasn't an easy thing. Staying out all hours of the night, coming back to the temple and being told, well, you didn't make your quota, go out again, you know. Come back at 10:30 at night. Well, you didn't make your quota, you have to go out again. Prabhupada wants the books to go out, so you have to go back out again for Prabhupada, you know. 11:30 at night. Where's there somebody even on the street that I can approach at 11:30 at night? So many austerities that he did, and then the whole thing was over, and then a letter came from Prabhupada, you see. What did he say? Mahatmanas tumang parata davim prakritamashracha bhajanyananyamaniso gyatabhutadim abhyayam. He gave us credit, all of us who went out on that marathon that December. He said, actually, you are all great Mahatmas, he said. He said, those who are not deluded, the great souls, they are under the protection of the divine nature, and they worship me as the supreme personality of God, original and inexhaustible. So Prabhupada reciprocated. We went through so many austerities to try to please him by distributing his books. And then he reciprocated by calling us Mahatmas. Gave us credit for being Mahatmas, even though we felt we were the biggest Duratmas that ever set foot on the planet Earth, but Prabhupada called us Mahatmas. So in this way, the spiritual master somehow engages the disciples, you see, the students, the disciples. And they become, making sacrifices to please the spiritual master, even sometimes they don't even feel like it, they just do it out of duty, you see. But by going ahead and acting dutifully, then gradually the purification takes place, the loving feelings come. And they can naturally come. Why? Because the love is already there. We're already pure devotees, actually. It's just buried beneath 10 billion layers of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Maybe 10 trillion layers, 10 quadrillion layers. Pure bhakti is there in the heart of each and every one of us, you see. But it's just buried by so much crud, so much dirt, so much contamination. But by engaging intensely in the service of Krishna and Guru, then this contamination is washed away, it's cleansed away. And then the natural loving feelings become fully manifested. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think this is a good stopping point. I see it's 8:30 now, so we'll go ahead and stop here. Thank you very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.